highest symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle. Welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On the show today, we'll be discussing one of my favorite opponents of all time. But first, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Kurt, I'm doing great, man. It's great to see you. You know, our audience, we kind of let them in on the secret. We had last recorded 2 weeks ago. I had a little bit of vacation, but man, we had a lot of fun. We had talked about Vengeance 2005. Today, we're going to talk about Vengeance 2006. But before we get there, Kurt, how was your Father's Day?
It was fantastic, man. We actually went to Texas de Brazil, and I pigged out. It was my cheat day.
Oh, man.
I ate everything and anything.
I love your cheat days. You've talked about them before, and it sounds like something to behold, my friend.
It is. It quite is. Yes, sir.
That's good, man. Well, hey, you deserve it, and I'm glad you had a nice Father's Day. We mentioned, too, Shawn Michaels, right? Last week we talked about him in Vengeance 2005. But, buddy, also something that occurred this past week is it was Shawn Michaels' 35-year anniversary of joining WWE. What can you say about the Heartbreak Kid, man?
You know what? All I could say about him is he's the best of all time. He has had incredible chemistry with every wrestler he's ever wrestled. I had incredible chemistry with him. I enjoyed working with him every single time, and he was so easy to work with. And for him to go 35 years is just unbelievable. I mean, you know, you're talking 70% of his life has been involved with the WWE. That is something that hardly ever happens.
Yeah, and now he's such a huge influence in so many young wrestlers' lives, what he's doing with NXT. So it's cool.
He's a great teacher, too. Yeah. He really is, yeah.
Yep, gets to put his imprint on so many of those talents who, let's be honest, idolized him and looked up to him, I'm sure, in the ring for so long. So it's cool. The other person that we talk a lot about here on the show and that you looked up to, Kurt, was The Undertaker, and he chimed in this week, and he tweeted that if he could pick one person to share the ring with, it would be Sean.
I'm kidding.
He said you were too.
Sean.
Yeah. No, but he said it was Sean. So, I mean, those are big time words from a big time star in Undertaker.
I would have said the same thing. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, listen, we're going to jump right into it then, because now we're talking all about 2006, Kurt. And this is where you really started off your big run for ECW. And One Night Stand had taken place on June 11th. And you're working with, as you said to kick off the show, one of your favorite all-time opponents, Randy Orton, the Viper, the Legend Killer, every other tagline that he's had. How much did you enjoy working with Randy?
Well, Randy was really young at this particular time, but I will tell you this. He picked up on everything so quickly. It's probably because he was third-generation wrestler, but he was almost as good as he is now, back then. I mean, he literally was that good. And not only that, but I love this character. You know, he was tall and thin and slender, and he moved around like a snake, and his nickname was the Viper. It was a great character for him, and it really put him over the top.
Yeah, man, he is. And if you've ever heard Ric Flair talk about Randy Orton, he swears he is just the best at what he does, man. He's a guy that we certainly miss seeing right now in the ring. Hopefully we'll see him back soon.
You know what? And he's an incredible actor, too. He's not just a wrestler, a character. His facials when he wrestles and when he does promos, he's always on. The kid is incredible.
Well, we already learned from you, though, the best is Dave Bautista. I mean, you're the best actor. You told us that.
Yeah. Wrestling actor, yes.
Wrestling actor. I saw that hit social media, so there you go. But Randy, you're right. Man, he has the looks. The facials, he has it all. And let's get into you, though, a little bit here, because you get the win to launch your run in ECW via submission with the ankle lock at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Guys, listen, check that one out. That episode is in our archives. But the run you were about to prepare for in ECW, Kirk, you're still going to be working against Randy at the upcoming pay-per-view, which we're here to talk about today, Vengeance. We're going to watch that match in its entirety today on this episode. It's announced on Raw. But were you worried about not being on Raw at this time and just simply being on ECW? I mean, were you worried about your exposure?
Not at the beginning, because it was so highly promoted on Raw and on SmackDown that ECW is coming. And, you know, I knew the first shows were going to be really high rated, so I wasn't that concerned about it. But down the road, I would have been concerned, like 5-6 months down the road, because, you know, then you won't have that support from the WWE and you're on your own with ECW. But at the beginning, I knew that ECW ratings would be high.
Yeah, and like we said, it's fresh off a one-night stand. And after that one-night stand on Raw, they go ahead, Orton challenges you to that rematch on Vengeance. Do you think it was too soon to come back to this match with you and Randy already? Or do you think, hey, we've waited long enough, this is good, let's just do it again?
Well, you know what? You have a program with someone, you continue the program. And I think that's what we were doing, continuing the program. I beat Randy. This time, you know, he's going to wrestle me again. Most likely, he would win, and then we would have a third match.
Yeah,
determine the dominator. But we didn't have that match, and I'll explain why in a little bit.
Okay, all right. Now that sounds good. We'll get there. So let's talk about it. The ECW on Sci-Fi debut. It's June 13th, 2006, from Trenton, New Jersey. It takes place with you and Justin Credible, Kurt. You beat Credible, and you eat him alive. You beat him in 2 freaking minutes. And that was the direction that was given by Paul Heyman, right?
Yeah. Paul wanted me to dominate. He wanted me, you know, the longest match he wanted me to have is the match I had with Randy, you know, so he wanted me to dominate. He wanted me to be the face of the company along with Rob Van Dam. And, you know, they wanted me to be this wrestling machine.
The machine.
They didn't want me to do any gimmicks or anything, just full bred wrestling, a lot of suplexes, less punches, all wrestling. That's what they wanted.
No cowboy hats, no milk trucks.
No funny stuff. No.
Yeah, none of the bullshit. Yeah. There you go. Well, listen, from the Torch, they said Angle's new role is pure wrestling, mostly doing suplex after suplex. It's limiting, but he's awesome at it. Man, this is the first time you're portrayed as the Machine, Kurt, in the WWE. Were you ready for this welcome, you know, this change, this difference in your character? Were you ready for
it? Yeah, you know what? I came up with it. Vince McMahon came to me and said, listen, we need to stop doing the funny stuff. I want you to be taken more seriously. And I said, yeah, that's fine. I said, what do you want from me? He said, I just want a really intense Kurt Angle. I said, how about the Wrestling Machine? He said, that's a good idea. So that's how it all started. And it was my idea. And I ran into it and I ran with it, actually.
Yeah.
It worked out really well. Unfortunately, it didn't last that long because I wasn't in the WWE long after that. But for the very beginning in ECW, it worked.
And honestly, Kurt, this is you. You have both sides to your personality even today. You can be intense. You talk about intensity. That's you. But you also have the comedic and the fun side. So it suits you well to go from that. I mean, you know, they always say turn yourself up a notch when it comes to wrestling. But you do also have that intense side. You know, I've seen it here and there.
You know what? I enjoy doing that, but I really miss the funny stuff.
That's your favorite.
Yeah. I just had a lot more fun doing it.
Yeah. Hey, Derek, let's get those notes in earlier. Okay, buddy? We don't like the intense side. All right. Also from the Torch. I love this. We are having way too much fun. The idea with Kurt Angle is to portray him as the centerpiece of the brand. There was no doubt about it, dude. That was the goal. His new character will not include any of the soft, lighthearted jokester side of his personality. This is exactly what we're talking about. His intro music has been edited, so there isn't an opportunity for the fans to chant "You suck" as he walks to the ring. Says one wrestler, he is determined to make this work. There are so many people in his ear brainwashing him, telling him how to act. He's almost too intense. Who is in your ear, Kurt? Tell us. Was it Paul Heyman? What's going on?
No, nobody was in my ear. I don't even know where this person got all this.
This is hilarious.
This isn't Meltzer, is it?
No, this is from The Torch. This is Keller. Okay.
No, nobody was in my ear. This was all my idea. I presented it to Vince McMahon and Paul Heyman. So I'm not sure where that came from, but it's not true.
So you weren't getting brainwashed? There was nobody waving a clock in front of your eyes? Kurt, you will be.
No.
That sounds like more fun to dive into, though. Can we make it up and act like you were? What did Vince think of this transition? Was he all, as he saw you performing this, was he digging it, loving it?
He was ready to orgasm, Paul. That's all I could say. He loved the wrestling stream very much.
Oh, man, I love it. So he was like Kurt watching an Undertaker entrance. There you go. Were you taking it too serious? Were you getting too intense? I mean, what about you?
When you're the wrestling machine, you can never be too intense. You have to raise the bar higher than everybody else to make sure you're more intense than everybody else on the card. You got to make sure of that, especially if you're going to be the wrestling machine. Intensity is the main factor.
Yeah, integrity's out the door. It's intensity. It's only one eye, and it's called intensity.
And no intelligence. You don't have
zero. The look on your face said zero intelligence. That was for sure. Well, listen, on Raw, Randy Orton beat Snitsky, and Jerry Lawler interviewed Randy about facing you at Vengeance, and it announced that you'll be teaming with, that's right, RVD, to take on Rated RKO and Edge and Randy Orton the next night on ECW. Kurt, do you think ECW was hurt by seeing so closely tied in with WCW instead of as a separate brand? I mean, it's kind of being melded together at this point.
Well, I'm not sure if you really needed this, but my opinion is that they needed help from WWE.
Yeah.
ECW was a great company. It was more of a cult. You know, they had a certain following that was very loyal to them, and it was a big following.
And you were becoming the David Koresh of the cult, essentially. Yes. Yeah. You were the cult. Yeah. I got you.
Okay. Yeah. You're an asshole, Paul.
But they needed that. You said it. They needed the opportunity for the exposure.
The exposure from WWE was really good for ECW. So I think that was really good for it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Van, anytime you're going to get that kind of rub or that exposure from a brand like Raw.
You know, WWE promoting ECW. That, you know, if Vince didn't own ECW, that would never happen.
I mean,
you're talking about two different companies, and Vince is pushing the competition.
Yeah. And this is at a time where RVD, he's the ECW and WWE champion. What did you think about that?
I thought Rob was great. He was supposed to be the top guy with me. I really believe that they wanted Rob and I to be the faces of the company.
Yeah.
And the only other person I could think of that could have replaced Rob would have been Taz. But Taz was not active at this point. So Rob Van Dam was the right choice.
Did you guys feel like, man, we have the weight of the world on our shoulders to carry this ECW brand and to really continue to get it over? So that's just not a cult, but it's a brand.
You know what? I didn't have that problem. I enjoy having the weight of the company on my shoulders. So I'm cool with it. I'm sure Rob was too. Rob wouldn't even know if he had if he had the weight of the company on his shoulders. Rob is, you know, out there, man. He's out there.
That's right. He's so high. He don't know if the weight's on his shoulders or not.
But he doesn't care either way. He doesn't give a shit. So Rob just has that I don't care attitude, and it worked for him.
Yeah. Nothing. He doesn't have. And when you say I don't care, it's more like not a care in the world. You know, he's not a care in the world. He's going to do his best one way or the other. And what happens, happens. Right.
Happens. Yes.
I love it. Well, listen, the tag match between you and RVD taking on Edge and Orton is a 15-minute match, Kurt. And it's a really good tag match. Guys, you should go back and check it out on the WWE Network. Lita is involved a lot in the match due to it being ECW rules. What did you think of the Edge and Lita gimmick together? Were you a fan of Edge and Lita together?
You know what? It was so uncomfortable. You know, I was really tight with Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys. And when they did that whole thing, I didn't like it. I, to be honest with you, it was just, it wasn't very tasteful. I understand why they were doing it, and I understand Matt Hardy was on board with it, but I didn't like it. I thought it was just shit.
So when the ratings went through the roof for their live sex celebration, you were not one of the fans at home watching it and popping the ratings?
No, I wasn't. No, okay. I mean, I don't think, a lot of people would love to see Lita naked. Don't get me wrong. But,
but you just didn't think that was the time or the place.
That wasn't the right time or the place.
Yeah. I gotcha. Okay. Well, man, I'm loving this episode of the Kurt Angle Show already. So, by the way, you went ahead and hit Lita with the Angle Slam in the match. So here we are, Mr. Intensity, obviously no intelligence on this one. How was Lita to work with, bud?
You know what? Lita was a professional. She never missed a spot when she worked with the Hardys. She was always there at the right times. And you know what? Lita was easy to work with. So hitting her with the Angle Slam was nothing.
Yeah, she, man, she knows her way around the ring. Doubt about it. One of the best of all time at what she does. And we just got to see her recently doing her thing, tag teaming with Becky Lynch until Trish Stratus, that evil person took her out. Trish has been carrying the heel banner, man. She continues to do so.
My hat's off to her.
Yeah, mine too. Van Dam gets the pin on Edge, by the way. We finally made it to the end of the match after the 5-star frog splash, as they'll be facing off at Vengeance. So we got you and Orton at Vengeance. You got Van Dam and Edge at Vengeance. What did you think overall of this tag match, Kurt?
Oh, the match was incredible. I thought it was a great match. I thought it was 4 stars. It was a great match, great finish. Look at the 4 guys that were in the ring, though. I mean,
studs.
That speaks for itself. So, yeah, the match was awesome.
Yeah. Well, before we get to the pay-per-view, there's a stop at the ECW Arena in Philadelphia, the classic ECW Arena. And, buddy, I think that's your first appearance since that fateful night where Raven and Sandman did their whole crucifixion deal. Am I right? Is that the first time you were back? Yeah, right. That's the night you wet yourself and ran out the back of the arena.
Oh, God. I was out of there. Second that happened, I was like, Paul Heyman, you show me on TV with this crucifix, and I'm going to sue your ass.
You were crossing yourself. You were kneeling in prayer and tears outside of the ECW arena. You were doing all the sacraments.
I was even praying for ECW. God, please forgive them for what they have done.
You were at midnight mass. I mean, you ran as close as church you could find. So this is your first time back, and you're going to challenge RV freaking D that night for the ECW title. How much fun is that?
Oh, Rob's great to work with. I mean, he is so, he's different. He's explosive. He's a high flyer, and his size, I mean, the guy's 250. So right. Move the way he does in the ring is just incredible. Really flexible individual, can do just about anything. And that really helps. It works for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, from the torch, we got some good stuff here. Dean Malenko was the special referee. So, man, that's pretty cool. How special and what was your relationship like with Dean back then in the WWE?
I looked up to Dean more than anybody else. Him being the man of 1,000 holds, a technical wrestler. I got so excited when Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, and Eddie Guerrero were going to come to the WWE because they were all great technical wrestlers. And that's what I aspired to be. And knowing Dean was there, I knew I could learn from him. And I did.
It's a really cool move, too, because Dean had spent time in ECW, the original ECW. Yes, so having him be the referee was really a nice touch. And so we hear more from the torch about this night. Excuse me. Some fans were hostile toward Angle as an outsider, but eventually, they were quieted by pro-Angle fans and a great match. They traded holds early back and forth. That put a big smile on your face. Then RVD posted Angle on the railing and hit his corkscrew leg drop off the apron onto Angle. Later, Angle hit a belly-to-belly on the floor. Back in the ring, RVD hit a split leg moonsault for a near fall. I always love that move, that split leg moonsault.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah,
nobody else can do it.
No, that's right. Unique to him. RVD brought a chair into the ring, but Angle hit a back suplex for a near fall. RVD turned an Angle Slam attempt into a DDT for a near fall. RVD then did a sidekick into a chair and got a near fall on Kurt. Kurt then hit an angle slam for a near fall. RVD then hits a rolling thunder later, but was caught on the top rope as he set up for a five-star frog splash. Angle suplexed him off the top rope to the mat, then slapped on the ankle lock. A loud, "Please don't tap," chant began. RVD broke the hold by hitting Angle with a chair. Angle picked up a chair, but RVD hit the Van Damminator on Angle, followed by a successful five-star frog splash for the win. A heck of a match, considering both were scheduled to wrestle the next night on pay-per-view. You guys went hard, Kurt. And you're in a building that you kind of have to. Is this Rob pushing you, you pushing him, you two just tearing it up, or what?
You know what? It was all of the above. We were in this ECW arena, and the fans were hostile. And if we didn't perform the way we did that night, we would have been booed out of the arena. We had to put on a great performance. And even though we had to wrestle the next night at pay-per-view, we put everything into that match that night. And Rob and I were so happy with the outcome.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't know if you can recall this, but you, soon as that's over, you got to go from Philly to Charlotte. Yeah. I mean, how close are you
cutting? I had two choices.
Yeah.
Drive 10 hours or get up early and fly down.
Yeah.
So get up early, flow down. And so I lost a few hours. That's all that, you know, that was the only difference in fly or being further away for the next night.
Yeah.
I just had to wake up a few hours early.
Yeah, you just lost sleep. But back then, that was no big deal for the.
That was a huge deal.
For the wrestling machine, right? You're just a machine at this point. You're not even human. You're a Terminator.
Every night is so important when you're traveling 300 days.
I can imagine. Yeah. Nah, you're right. Well, listen, here's the other thing, guys, and I'm sure most of you remember this because we have some questions that we're going to get to. You're the opening match at Vengeance against Randy. Did you have a preference at all where you were at on a card?
Well, honestly, I don't care where I am on the card. If I'm not the main event, which I knew we weren't going to be because we weren't a world title match, so I'd prefer to go on first. And I was happy with that, being on first, yes.
Well, buddy, you and I are going to watch the full match together. And we'll all go back and forth and talk about some things. But it's you versus Randy Orton from Vengeance 2006. Kurt, you ready to check it out?
Let's do it, man.
All right, here we go. I'm going to mute it now because they're playing all this theme music. And as soon as we play all this theme music, we get flagged on YouTube for copyright. But we see the beautiful Randy Orton in all his glory. My God, that guy. If I could just be that guy for about, I don't know.
You know what?
And the thing
is, he's not just a great wrestler. He's a damn good looking guy.
He's a stud. If I could be him for like a summer, okay? just let me be him for a summer single.
Everybody wants to be Randy.
Oh, man. Perfect height, look, physique. Yeah. He's got 6'5",
260.
I mean, come on.
Man, yeah.
Yeah. And
that's always hair in his head. Not like us. Yeah,
not like us. Balder than a cue ball. And, hey, that's why I wear the hat, just to mix it up a little bit for this show so that we don't look like the twins here.
Cue balls.
Yeah, cue ball twins. So Orton's making his way into the ring. They're doing all the pomp and circumstance. The lights are going off. We got Lillian Garcia in the ring. She's your ring announcer. Orton's doing the old spread eagle. Yes, I'm beautiful. Cheer for me. I'm trying to see who the referee is for this match.
Boy, he was young.
Yeah. How is Randy? When's the last time you talked to him?
Doing good, man. He recovered from his back surgery. I think he's going to come back pretty damn soon.
All good.
He's doing much better, yes.
I've noticed a little bit more activity on social media lately, family vacations and things like that, which is kind of a good sign that
He's coming back to life.
That he's breathing oxygen. Oh, and speaking of coming to life, look at this asshole. I mean, look at this stud. Kurt Angle. And you got the mouth guard in, buddy. You got the Olympic gold. Now that is a replica Olympic gold medal.
Yes, it is. Vince made two of those, three of them actually. Two got stolen, so there's only one more left.
And then you're wearing that mouth guard at this point.
Yeah, the Wrestling Machine mouth guard. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's ECW. That says ECW on it.
Yeah, that was part of that trademark look.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had it made. Okay.
Yeah, by my dentist.
Oh, and they were like, hey, I need something that says the letters ECW on it.
Yeah. He's like, why? I said, it's a wrestling company.
Do you have to ask me? I mean, do you know I put on underwear and go out to a ring every day on week on TV? What do your dentists and doctors say? I mean, do they recognize you from TV? I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. You know, most of them that I talk to, they're fans. So
that's cool.
It is cool.
Well, here you are. You guys are
fans. They start watching. So
there you go.
Yeah.
It's Kurt. By the way, we just broke 60,000 subscribers. Yes, on I know. YouTube.
This is awesome. Thank you, everybody. We broke 60,000 on YouTube.
I think this is a perfect time to say thank you to every listener of this show listening to our voices right now. You guys are the best and have supported us. And that's 12,000 subscriber growth in just the last few months. So that's big time. We want to get to 100, right, Kurt? 100,000.
Yes, we do. That's our goal, is 100,000.
Yep. So we're confident we can get there, but I just want to take a moment and say thank you. The other thing I want to talk a little bit about while we're watching you drive Randy to the mat is this coming Sunday, because we didn't talk about it in the opener. Kurt, you're going to be back on our TV sets again, aren't you, with the treasures, the wrestling treasures?
Yeah, WWE's Hidden Treasures. And you know what I'm going to be doing? Searching for a bunch of my merchandise, especially the milk truck. We're going to try to get the milk truck. We're going to go travel around, search for that, and other things that I'm going to do during the show. We're going to be searching for my singlet and other stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's a really cool show. I really enjoy doing it.
I saw a friend of the show, Jeff Jewett, on there last week, and he didn't have to, but I feel like you kind of have to when these wrestlers all show up to your house and they all stare at you. And he had the Roddy Piper leather jacket that Roddy Piper used to sport, and he sold it for $7,000 to him.
Nice.
He had Drew McIntyre and Mick Foley staring at him. And Piper's his biggest fan. I mean, it's a cool show. But then I saw on your social, you post a picture of you and Foley, and you're in your little cowboy hat.
Yeah. I posted that because they wanted me to post for Hidden Treasures. So yeah,
I got you.
I found one with a cowboy hat, and they also wanted me to get one with a singlet, but I couldn't find the singlet. So
I got you.
Posted Nick, yeah.
So check it out Sunday night, Kurt Angle, your Olympic hero. Now, dude, this move, where you're trying to belly to back off the side. How is this a little scary, or what if
it's dangerous? Because one slip of the rope and we're both dead.
You're both screwed. We're
both sitting on our heads. You know, it's like, Randy, please don't let go.
And guys, this is when he's trying to do the belly to back outside of the ring. And the only guy holding, you know, Randy's just holding on to the top rope, but both their weight is completely hanging off the backside of that ring. I've seen you do this a few times, but man, you really were bowed down there.
Yeah, and I just gave Randy a German on the floor, which I hardly ever do, because that's a rough bump to take.
And tell, even for you, right? Talk about the impact for you giving it.
Yeah, giving it, but taking it is, it's worse.
Well, and there's a reason Randy's been out for a year. Treatment like that over the years, you know? You're can't take that abuse for that long and something not finally go wrong.
No, you're right. You're right. Randy's pushed his body to the limit and beyond. And remember, he's been in this business for almost 25 years now.
Yeah, he started so young, and that's why he still looks so young.
He was 17 when he started.
I'm going to talk a little bit about what the Torch said about this match as we continue to watch it here, Kurt, and you interrupt me if there's a spot or something that happens that you want to talk about. Okay. But it says Randy Orton beat Kurt Angle. I know this isn't a spoiler alert because we've all seen this before, in 12 minutes. What about people beating you in 12 minutes, Kurt? I don't think that's good.
It's impossible. Never happens.
Only in predetermined sports.
Yes.
Angle dominated the first 4 minutes as Orton tried to bail out of the ring several times, which we've seen. Orton came back with a thumb to the eye, followed by a standing dropkick, which, by the way, does anybody deliver a better standing dropkick than Randy Orton?
Nobody better than Randy Orton. You're absolutely right. That's his thing.
Yeah.
Sticks it in every match.
And yeah. He's 6'5", and he can put it right in your face.
Above your face. Go over your head.
Yeah. Well, they said it drew surprising cheers from the crowd. Orton grounded Angle on the mat with his patent reverse chin lock. He kept it locked in for several moments and smiled to the crowd. I'm sure there are a few young ladies that were smiling back. And then after a back and forth exchange, Orton unhooked the top turnbuckle padding. Angle came up behind him and hit a lengthy series of 8 German suplexes, followed by an angle slam. He applied the ankle lock on Orton, but Orton shoved Angle off. An angle flew into the exposed turnbuckle. Have we seen that yet? I'm kind of reading the results. Has that happened yet,
Kurt? No, we have not.
Okay. He stumbled backwards into the RKO for the win. Yep, so that happens toward the end. The fans cheered. Orton held his ankle after winning the match. Disappointing match based on the talent in the ring. Angle suplexes probably looked good on paper, but they dragged down the match, similar to Orton's chin locks. Okay, the torch, this is definitely not Dave Meltzer, who wants to, you know, maybe have kids with you one day. This is from the torch, and he only gave it 1.5 stars.
Well, you know what? Let me explain to you why.
Okay.
We were the first match of the night. First match of the night, you have to kick the show off. It's got to be really exciting. It has to be a banger of a match, high impact, high energy. You have to have amazing spots in this match. Randy and I started off getting a feel for each other. Randy would leave the ring, come back in. He would leave the ring again, come back in. He'd leave the ring again, come back in. Then when he got to the heat, he was putting me in rear chin locks, rest holds. So this match should have been all action. Okay, when you start off the show, you want to start off getting the fans up for the whole entire show. You want to have a banger of the match, and it has to be high action for 12 minutes. That's the perfect time for your first match of the night. But this was the wrong psychology. This was a methodical match. It should have been high impact, high action.
That's interesting, especially here. We're watching it, and here's that chin lock that they talked about. That's just a happening throughout the match.
It's all we did the whole match is chin locks. And at the beginning, Randy kept leaving the ring for like 4 minutes.
Yeah, the old Larry Zbyszko.
That was for the 12 minutes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's just total 12. Now knee back down into the solar plexus, has you back down on the mat, and let's see what happens here. Let's listen to a little bit of the audio, and then we'll talk about it some more.
Is that an ECW referee?
Oh, my God. He went right back into the chin lock.
Yes, he did.
Oh, man. What is Jerry Lawler
saying? The crowd's dead. The crowd's not even.
Let's listen to him here.
Do service. Only kidding.
Dude.
I know you're not. Right.
They're dead. They're all sitting down, not moving. They're looking down. I don't know. Were their cell phones back? Yes. 06.
Wrong psychology, Paul. That's all it is.
Hmm. So Orton's sitting here. He's got you in a reverse chin lock. The guys, the crowd just kind of looking around from behind you. There's the cool mouth brace. That's nice. But yeah, it's just kind of not happening here, Kurt, for two guys that are, you know, Hall of Famers. You're one and he will be one.
Oh, he definitely will be one. Yes.
Hmm.
But I wish we would have just, do you remember my match with Rey Mysterio at SummerSlam?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's the kind of match you got to have.
It was hot.
It was hot.
It was a hot match. Hot
the whole time. Yeah.
Do you remember who might have helped you put this together back in the day? Was this you two that talked through this? Or what do you remember? Call
it was
this?
Randy and I, but Randy wanted more. Randy is more methodical. Okay. He's slow and slithery like a snake. And, you know, he likes to have that kind of paced match. But Randy never starts a show off. He never has a.
So he's not used to that either.
I'm sorry?
So he's not used to that either.
He's not used to starting off the show. So he doesn't have a lot of matches where it's all action. You know, Randy, it's more psychology than anything. It's not high action matches. It's methodical, you know, putting chin locks in, getting the crowd up and down, not just up all the time. And that's what a first match of the night has to be.
Yeah, there's action's picking up now. You're starting to throw them around with the suplexes. A lot of belly to bellies here. And looks
Randy's
like
he's hard to suplex. He really is. I'm barely getting him over on these.
Yeah, I can totally see that. What you're saying as far as
he's
kind of
so
maneuvering tall. his body. Yeah. He's lanky.
Very lanky. He's 6'5", 6'6".
Let's listen on a little bit of the commentary here.
Orton might have been able to get the 3. Yeah, can we see that one more time? The angle slam looked like it was coming. Randy Orton defended that 3. We didn't get to see the slow down. And that's an abrupt stop on that backbreaker. And Orton looking there. Oh, oh. Orton looking at the RKO. Didn't do it. Now Orton looks. Orton up to it. Desperate times, JR. Called for desperate measures. Orton has loosened that turnbuckle pad. And in the meantime, Kurt Angle back up, latching his hands with his second belly-to-back suplex.
Back of Kurt Angle. In the back of Randy Orton's head, bouncing off that mat.
A trifecta of suplexes.
Not four.
And four. And Orton's going to be suplex drunk before this is all said and done.
These kids are going to be born dizzy after this. Come on. You got to get out of there, Randy.
Orton's going to be drunker than J.J. Redick was last week in his car here in North Carolina. That's five. Is that five suplexes?
I think that's six.
Well, that's about five too many for Orton. God almighty. What's Angle going for, a 17th?
That's it.
Angle has continued to maintain that his locked hands very pugnaciously.
No more, no!
Lord, I don't know if I can recall.
I think that was eight.
Seeing that many suplexes, and Orton may be counted out here. Orton falling to the outside of the ring. That may have been the biggest break that he could get. Falling, literally falling to the outside, not knowing where he is.
Well,
now chanting for Angle.
And then Kurt Angle's going to come out and remind Randy Orton where he is.
And if Orton can, he can rebound from this. He is one resilient son of a gun, let me tell you. There's a hook. Would be. And oh, he's coming down.
Oh, man.
That was a real close to a three count. Long two and a half. Now Angle looking for the ankle lock. Orton looking at Orton kick.
Yeah, fight.
Orton kicking with that right foot. He didn't want that left angle broken again. That top turnbuckle now exposed. That metal ring has been exposed thanks to Orton's handiwork earlier. Orton trying to prop himself up. Uh-oh.
Oh, no!
Another suplex by Angle. Angle is in a suplexing mood here tonight.
They're looking real bad for Randy.
And now there it is. The ankle lock. Oh, that surgically repaired left ankle. And Orton's got to get to the ropes in a hurry.
Reach out, Randy. Reach out.
Reach out and touch something. Namely the bottom rope.
The rope right in front of you. Come on.
Is Orton going to tap here? Orton in danger of losing.
Get it. Get it. Come on, ref. Help him out.
Just not the retribution and vengeance. Hit the top turnbuckle, exposed.
Mouth first.
Face, mouth first. RKO.
Yes.
RKO. The hook. Will it be?
Yes.
What was that? Randy Orton's brother or something? Did you see that guy?
Yeah.
He was all fired up.
His long lost brother.
Yeah. Or
brother
ugly.
He didn't know he had.
Or yeah, uncle. Man, hey, that was quite the match, though. As I said, beat you in 12 minutes here.
Yeah, you know what? This is something a lot of people don't know.
Oh, I love it. That's what we want to hear.
See, I wasn't supposed to lose this early in ECW. I was supposed to remain undefeated for a while.
Okay.
And do you know why I lost?
No, I want you to tell us.
I failed a drug test.
Kurt, I am not surprised at this point in your career.
So I was getting suspended for a month, and they wanted to put over a guy before I left. And I chose Randy. And you asked earlier, why go to Randy so fast?
There's that loose end you wanted to save
for
later.
Yeah, I want to do Randy the honors. Yeah.
And I got to ask, I mean, you know, I have some questions here to kind of go through, but I feel like I know all the answers. I mean, are you happy with this match when it's all said and done?
Listen, no, I wasn't happy.
And I
explained earlier, this match should have been a banger of a match, should have been high impact, high action. This was more methodical and slower. We did the wrong thing, and we learned from it.
So you fail a drug test, you get suspended. Dude, this is, it's crazy to looking back at this, because this is your last pay-per-view match for the WWE until 2017.
I know, 11 years. 11 long years
as a member of the Shield.
Listen, I knew I was at this point right here. I knew I was leaving the WWE pretty soon.
Oh, you did right here. Okay.
Yeah. I was thinking about it. And, but I didn't know I'd be gone 11 years. And I thought maybe a year or two, I'd take a break and come back. But I ended up signing with TNA, and they kept me happy for 11 years. I mean, I had no issues with TNA, the company, at all. They paid me well. They treated me well. They let me have time off when I needed time off. When I was injured, they let me stay at home for 9 months and rest my body, and they paid me full pay the whole time. TNA took care of me, and that's why I stayed for 11 years.
Buddy, can I tell you, and you know, we're closer now, we're friends, even outside of the show, we talk more. And as a wrestling fan, I'll never forget at this whole timing of it going down, there was an article that came out that said one of the most popular wrestlers in the business is close to having major health problems, if not near death, if they don't get help. And at that point, there were rumors, and we didn't know who it was, but then we figured out it was you. And it was like, holy shit. And then just whatever it was, weeks maybe, was it a monthly? You went to TNA, and that was another holy shit moment as a fan.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you like how crazy of a time period that was as a Kurt Angle
fan? That was crazy. I was struggling. And I you know, TNA gave me a few months off that I could rest for a little bit. I should have taken longer off, unfortunately. But I was so excited I got signed with TNA. I was like, I'm going to start my whole life new again. You know, this is a whole new journey for me. And I was more excited. So I didn't want to wait as long to go there. I wanted to get there and start wrestling. And I should have rested my body for a good 6 to 12 months. And I didn't do that.
And you've admitted you still weren't at the point either of actually just trying to fully get yourself cleaned up yet.
No, I wasn't at that point. Not till I got to TNA and, I end up going to rehab eventually.
Yeah, right. Eventually. Yeah. So, man, just something else. And now here we sit all these years later. Thankfully, you're just doing so well, Kurt. I couldn't be prouder for you and where you're at in your life and you're with your family. We talked about Father's Day, but just seeing your little girl doing so good at the swim meets. And
yeah, she's dominating.
Yeah, imagine that, an Angle dominating. And them celebrating you with all those U.S. shirts they got you for Father's Day.
Yeah, that was awesome. I was surprised.
I'm just proud of where you've come. Dude, they love you so much. Yeah, man. I just can't help because we reflect on the show, and this is that time period where you're, like you said, all of a sudden, last pay-per-view ever. Not ever, but for a long time at WWE.
11 years, yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. So, hey, we got some fan questions, so let's jump into those, and we'll roll through those. Dylan says, Kurt, did you ever partake in any of Randy's recreational activities after a match?
You know what? I have my own recreational activities going on. I didn't have to be with Randy. Now, did I go and smoke? No, I didn't smoke. It wasn't my thing. So I'd have to say, no, I did not ever enjoy a smoke with Randy.
Yeah, there you go. So no, he did not. Joey, the Tori Amos guy, Kurt Angle, if you didn't ever go back to the WWE, would you have been satisfied with Randy and this match being your last WWE pay-per-view match?
You know what? I would have been satisfied with it being Randy, okay, but not this particular match. I knew we had better matches than that in our careers. And, so am I satisfied that it was Randy? Yes, but not the match.
Not that match. Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. Especially after rewatching it again, all these years later, you're absolutely right. Brad Stanton is up next. And he said, if you're not closing the show, is opening the next best option? And do you care where you're at on the card?
You know what? Opening is the second most important match of the night. That gets the fans up for the show. That sets the tone for the whole entire show. The main event's the top match. That is the most important match. But the beginning match, the start-off match, is the second most important match of the night. You got to get the fans excited and riled up.
What about, and as far as you caring where you're at on the card?
You know what?
Money-wise, you have to a little bit, though, right?
I'm sorry?
Money-wise, do you have to care? I mean, because you obviously want to be main event guys, make the big bucks, right?
Oh, yeah. You always want to be main event. You're going to make more money, obviously, yes.
But otherwise, if you're not, it's okay to be wherever in your mind.
It doesn't matter. I mean, the one thing, if you're at a house show, the one thing you don't want to be is right after intermission. Because people are going to get popcorn.
They're not even watching.
And they're not even watching.
They're dead. The crowd's dead.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty much dead. So if you have an intermission at a show, you don't want to be the match after the intermission.
Hmm. All right, Yambag Jones, one of our buddies, he says, Kurt, when he finally hangs up his boots and people have a chance to appreciate his body of work more, do you think Randy Orton will be remembered as one of the all-time greats?
Oh, of course, he already is. Randy's been in that company for almost 25 years, and he's dominated since day one. He was world champion, I think, his first year and a half in the business.
Yeah, he was a champion early.
Yeah, Randy was super young, too, and he matured quite a bit throughout the years, but, you know, he was really immature when he started. He looked like a kid, you know, but he was still really good. That kid, he will go down in history as one of the greatest of all time, definitely.
Bobby, KF5GTX, that's right, that was his radio call handle, I think, in college. He said, I ordered my first Kurt Angle t-shirt as part of my Father's Day gift from my wife and daughter. Can't wait to get it. Bobby, thank you from the Kurt Angle Show.
Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, you're the man. He said, I'll post a pic on Twitter. You better, and we appreciate that. He said, you've mentioned how you enjoy working with Randy Orton, Kurt. When laying out this match with Randy, was there something that you two disagreed on, or did you ever have a disagreement with Randy on matches or putting matches together?
No. Randy and I were pretty compatible. We didn't have a problem with each other. We agreed on a lot of stuff. The thing is, we just did the wrong things. You know, we didn't have the right psychology. We were treating that match like it was a main event match. We were taking our time at the beginning. We were taking our time during the heat. That's what you do when you're wrestling in the main event, but not the first match of the night.
Yeah. And I just feel like, when did you two, Kurt, was it around your original run here, or was it after your second run where you two really became, because you guys are buds, your wives are close. They obviously used to have a podcast together. I don't know if you became closer because of your wives, but when did you guys really develop your friendship?
Well, Randy and I, we started being really good friends right when he started. See, JR and Vince came to me and said, listen, we have a kid a little rough around the edges. We want you to travel with him. I'm like, who? They're like, Randy Orton. I'm like, I don't know who he is. And they said, he's Bob, Cowboy Bob Orton's son.
Bob is. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. You weren't a fan in the 80s.
When I did my homework, okay. I started on TV. But yeah, I knew who Cowboy Bob Orton was. So they wanted me to travel with him, show him the ropes, and have Randy stay out of trouble. Unfortunately, I didn't help him with that too much.
Yeah,
because he got a little bit of trouble here and there. An example. I think I told you already. We were late for a show. I didn't care if I was late. Randy was like, Kurt, I'm gonna get fined. Like, you can't keep showing up late. I'm like, well, I don't get fined, so I'm
yeah, okay with screw it. You.
So one day I went the opposite way than I was supposed to for about an hour on the highway, and Randy's like, oh my God, we're gonna be late. And I turn around and I go the other way, and we finally get there. We're an hour late. So we're locked out of the arena. He's busting on the window, trying to pound on it. Then he kicks it and kicks the window open, the door window. The window and the door shatters. He goes in there, goes down, gets his stuff on, goes in and wrestles. And after the show, the people said, hey, the people of the arena said, hey, you're going to pay for that door. So they ended up calling Vince and saying, hey, your wrestler broke a door. He kicked it in, and it was because we were late, and it was my fault. So Randy had to pay $800 for the door, and, the company didn't suspend him that yet.
No, but if Vince wasn't paying for it, Randy paid for it.
No, Randy paid for the door.
Well, I bet you he didn't kick any more doors down after that.
Nope, not after that.
Mm-mm-mm. When's the last time you saw Randy?
WrestleMania.
Oh, okay. He was there backstage.
Not this past year, the year before.
Yeah. Holy smokes.
Been a while.
Yeah. Brian Harem's the last question this week, Kurt, and then we'll get on to some other things here. He said, you mentioned that Vince wanted you as the face of ECW. Did it make sense then for you to go and compete on a Raw pay-per-view? And did you feel the story with Randy needed an ending at this show? So in your mind, this was a Raw pay-per-view, but I guess we have kind of talked about it. You felt like any exposure that ECW could get, you were all for.
Yeah, ECW, they weren't in business for, gosh, 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Well, I think they needed the WWE support to start off. I mean, we're reigniting a company. We're starting it off. And I think the more help, the better. You know, whether you're promoting through Raw or SmackDown or both, it's going to help ECW.
It's hard because there are, Kurt, like, mixed views on that, right? Like, yeah. You want to say, man, just stick to the brand and the brand split, and let's see how that little engine that can, if they, with a name like a Kurt Angle and an RVD, let's see them grow on their own and become their own. But then you're a promoter who wants to make as much money as possible on all of it, that says, well, hell, I'm going to promote my biggest stars on every platform I can, you know?
You know what, though? I'll tell you this, Paul. Most of the guys on ECW were from ECW originally.
Yeah.
But there were guys like me. So that's still helping from WWE.
Name recognition.
Still,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're still, WWE is still supporting ECW because they have WWE wrestlers going to ECW. So yeah. Not only are you supporting it from an exposure wise,
but from a talent wise,
your talent.
Yeah.
That are coming to ECW. Yeah.
We just want to see you be ECW Kurt, ECW only Kurt, ECW through and through Kurt, red and black Kurt, you know,
the wrestling machine Kurt.
The wrestling machine ECW guy on all the pay-per-view. The only way we can see Kurt is if we tune into ECW. You know what I mean? So I get that side of it. But as I said, then you have that money-making guy who's like, well, I need a big Vengeance 2006 card. I want superstar Kurt Angle versus superstar Randy Orton. It just blurs lines, and it's hard for us as story followers, which wrestling fans are. You can see that through the Bloodline. My God, what a story they continue to tell.
It's a great story too, man.
Yeah. Isn't it something? Now the brothers have turned on Roman and Sola. It's incredible. So a lot of stuff there. And then, yeah, I think we answered your question, Brian. You said, did you feel the story with Randy needed an ending at this show? I felt like it did, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I
did. It happened anyway because you were done at this point. So, Kurt, you get suspended right after this show. You lose, and then from there, it's just...
I spent 30 days at home. I come back. I did a couple of other shows. Got injured again. And I think I told you when I tore my hamstring, my groin, and my ab muscle all in one match against Rob Van Dam. He was the WWE champion or ECW champion. I went to the next day we had TV. We had three house shows before the TV. Next day we had to go to SmackDown. And I showed up early at the writers' meeting. I walked into the meeting room, and the people, the writers were behind me, and Vince was in front of me in a desk at the front of the room. And I walked in, I took my pants down all the way down to my ankles. All you could see is my balls and everything.
Completely nude.
And they're black. It's black. My leg's black all the way down to my foot. Vince was like, oh, my God, I guess you're not wrestling tonight. I said, no, I'm not, Vince. And we need to have a meeting. And that's when I quit.
And that's when all hell broke loose.
That's when all hell broke loose, yes.
Well, Kurt, next week we're going to be discussing, we're going to transition, speaking of your move to TNA, we're going back to TNA, and it's Destination X 2012. The Claire Lynch story continues, as we discussed when we had Frankie Kazarian on. But the Bound for Glory series begins, and it's you against your old foe, Samoa Joe, who, by the way, is still kicking ass in the ring. And we're going to watch that match back and discuss everything around that. And, man, listen, that's a match where right here on our YouTube channel, you can watch along with us filter-free because we have a great relationship with Impact, and they allow us to share all their content unfiltered. And two, if you want to help us, you can support them by going to impactwrestling.com/packages and then sign up with code Kurt. So if you would do that, that would be a big help to the Kurt Angle Show. We're trying to help them grow their subscriber base. Kurt spent so much of his career, 11 years of his career wrestling on Impact. And
longer
so much
than I did in WWE.
So much of his legacy and some of his greatest matches, we're going to cover one of them next week, is on Impact, and you can find it all there. So impactwrestling.com/packages. Again, code Kurt. And, man, we would appreciate you doing that so much. Kurt, this was a fun show this week.
Yes, it was. We had a lot of fun. We always do, Paul.
Yeah, I always have a blast hanging out with you and talking your old times and days back here in the wrestling business. Guys, listen, if your business targets 25 to 54-year-old men, then advertise with us here. You can go to advertisewithangle.com right now and find out more about advertising here on The Kurt Angle Show. Those advertisements will pop up. We'll talk about them. Kurt and I will talk about your product. You've heard some of the same ads over and over again with some of the same companies for years, and it's because it works. They love us. They love the Kurt Angle Show. They love to hear the Olympic gold medalists talk about their product. We have a super targeted audience with very little waste. So check it out now. Go to advertisewithangle.com and find out more how you can advertise your product or service right here on the Kurt Angle Show. Also, want to talk a little bit about adfreeshows.com. This weekend, as this drops, it's Top Guy Weekend in Huntsville, Alabama. Those guys are doing things that you cannot imagine. It's a wrestling fans' fantasy camp weekend, if you will.
It certainly is, man.
I mean, we've seen the itinerary and what they have going on, and it is an absolute blast. But you can get in and see if you like it at $9 a month, and you can get all of your favorite wrestling podcasts early and ad-free. That's right, just $9 a month. And we're going to allow you to enjoy the first week completely free. So sign up now, enjoy that free trial, and get a taste of what ad-free shows is all about, and check it out. Kurt, before we get out of here, we got some things as far as socials. You can follow us at The Angle Pod. Again, YouTube. You can like, subscribe, and turn on all those notifications at youtube.com/TheAnglePod. Follow us on social media as well. But Kurt, I know we're always excited to hear about physicallyfit.com and those chicken snacks. So tell us what you have going on there behind you with Physically Fit and those chicken snacks, buddy.
We got Physically Fit chicken snacks and Snack Smart crispy protein bites. One is chicken protein, one's organic plant protein. There are 11 different flavors. We have incredible flavors. They taste really good. They're all awesome. You absolutely love them. Go to physicallyfit.com to order yours. Use the code ANGLEPOD, you'll get 20% off. Or you can sign up on the website and be a lifetime member and get 20% off for the rest of your life. This product is really good. You're going to absolutely love them. The flavors, we got sriracha, kung po, wild buffalo, and blue cheese. We have cinnamon swirl. We have a bunch of them. Honey mustard. Really good flavors. You're going to love them.
There you go, Kurt. Also, by the way, you hooked me up with some of your amazing new protein, and I know you want to talk about that because that's coming worldwide by the end of the summer to GNC. Tell us about your cookies and cream.
Oh, I have a cookies and cream protein. Kurt Angle's American Dream Cookies and Cream Protein. You can go to project1nutrition.com to order it. The protein is the best tasting protein on the market. I'm not bullshitting you. I know I talk about my chicken snacks, that they're incredible, but the protein is too. I decided to do it because I'm a milk drinker, milk lover, and I love cookies. And cookies and cream is perfect for me. So that's the flavor I decided to do for my protein company. And you're going to love it. I promise you. You need to order project1nutrition.com. Order the Kurt Angle American Dream Cookies and Cream Protein. It's awesome.
Kurt, what do you throw in the protein? Like 2% milk, or what do you mix with it? Water?
Skim milk, yeah.
Skim milk? Okay.
You know what? The product tastes incredible just with water.
Okay.
But milk is a little better.
There you go. I want to hear tips from the pro, you know, and that's you. Guys, I can't believe it, but you're going to find it in all your GNC stores here by the end of the summer, I believe. So really excited about that.
By mid-July, yes.
Nice. And then KurtAngleBrand.com. We'll wrap up with that this month. That's where you can find all your gimmicks, whether it's a cowboy hat, whether it's a milk carton, whether it's a birthday card, a cameo video from your Olympic hero, whether it's wishing happy birthday, anniversary, whatever the case may be. Kurt, that's where the place to find it for you, man, KurtAngleBrand.com.
Yeah, we got T-shirts. We have autographed photos, birthday cards, cowboy hats, milk cartons. We have the whole ball of wax. Go to KurtAngleBrand.com and order it, and I'll send it right to you.
There you go. You can find the whole ball of wax over there at KurtAngleBrand.com. Kurt, thank you so much for doing the show with me this week.
You are welcome.
On behalf of your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell. Guys, we appreciate you. Continue to listen, subscribe, and support the show. And we will see you right back here next week. On behalf of Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell. And we'll see you right back here next week on The Kurt Angle Show.